Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Have you ever looked at your career and thought, is this really it? You're successful on paper, but something deep down feels off. Today's guest, Rachel Speckman, knows that feeling well. After 15 years in marketing and a high-powered corporate role, she traded prestige for purpose and now helps high-performing professionals do the same. Rachel's mission is to help you turn that inner whisper into action by aligning your career with your values, purpose, and joy. In this conversation, she reveals how to spot the early signs that you're ready for reinvention and shares her powerful metaphor, taking up space versus making space, a simple mindset shift that can transform how you show up in work and in life. If you're ready to find meaning without sacrificing success, you'll love this episode with Rachel Speckman. Let's dive in. Hi, everyone. Thank you again for joining us back on the podcast. I am so excited to introduce my guest, Rachel Speckman. How are you today?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I love jumping right into the conversation because I feel like time is of the essence and we have so much information and knowledge that we can share. So I want to make sure that we amplify our time and we get straight to the gold and just really dive in. You ready to go?
I'm ready to dive in.
Okay, so let's start with your past experiences, because I know in business, you've had a couple different career paths. How has that led you to the work that you're doing today?
So when I was in the business world, I was doing a variety of jobs. I mean, I was project management, operations, budgeting, finance. And now that I'm running my own two companies, not just one, but two, so I'm both a therapist and a coach, I am using those skills every day, all of the time. Yeah. So anything from thinking through, I call myself strategy and operations all in one.
I love that.
And I have to switch very quickly and seamlessly between right now I am in operations mode or right now I'm in strategy mode and use a different set of skills for each of those, but there's a lot of overlap. And I really, even though I wasn't very happy during that time, I want to really give thanks to my previous self for not running from that, even though it wasn't really aligned because the skills are invaluable.
Yeah. And tell us what you do, like what's your passion that you're working on now?
Okay. So I was in that corporate world for some time and I was the person giving keynotes, leading presentations, and then crying in the bathroom afterwards. And I was crying for a variety of reasons. My personal life wasn't going where I wanted it to. I felt disconnected from the things that had brought me joy professionally. And I started to take a long, hard look at myself. And this coincided with the pandemic and the birth of my first child. And I now help, and I ended up, let me tell you what I did. So I looked long and hard at myself and my finances and my skills and where I light up. And I realized I had long wanted to be a private therapist. And I had put that dream away because it had been discouraged out of me and for a variety of reasons.
Yeah,
I went back to school full time. I left being a senior director to become an intern.
Mm.
So the ego goes on a journey.
Yeah.
She's always on a journey. She's always on a journey, but wow, she was really on a journey then, let me tell you. And it was the best calculated risk I ever took because
Yeah.
when I arrived as an intern and had to get over my own job titles and X, Y, and Z and everybody's feelings about what I was doing, I realized this is what fills me up so much. I was so right on time in the right room. I call it the right room.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's so many other people, women, men, entrepreneurs out there who are can really relate to this because they've met that peak, right? They've got the title, they have the success, but they feel a disconnect or an internal struggle, something that's not aligned. So you really help them with, identifying what that reinvention is, or, helping them get aligned into their truest purpose, most aligned, successful path, right?
Yes, exactly. And
Yeah.
so I now help people after becoming a therapist. I had many people who once thought I was crazy, then reach back out to me and say, "Hey, you seem so much happier. How are you doing this?" And from there, a career coaching business was born.
Love it.
And now I help people, and I started with just my name, Rachel Speckman Career Coaching. And I was coaching a client, a long-term client of mine now, who's finally made a pivot and is much happier. And then I do executive coaching with people to stay happy. I say you have to get happy and then stay happy. That's the other part.
Right.
And it's a verb. It's action. But I was telling her, you are made for more than this toxic boss. And she said, that's the name of your company.
I love that.
And that was how the name of my company was born. And so it's Made for More Coaching. And so what I do is I help people who are in soul drained, unfulfilled careers find soul aligned work that still makes a great income. That does not mean
Yeah.
you're quitting tomorrow. That does not even mean you're making a career change. It might mean you're going to repurpose what you're doing, where you are, to what I call be much more symmetrical with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the other phrases I know that you use, or a metaphor that you use, is taking up space versus making space. Can you unpack what that means and how that aligns with the goals that you work with your clients on?
Yes. So there's kind of this thing in like your 20s and 30s, you take space. This is me. Look, this is my opportunity. And then I think as you get older, you're kind of making space. Well, wait, you're wiser than me. What have you done? And so there is a transition that happens, whether it's having children or kind of settling into your life more, where you realize I'm taking space and I want to figure out how do I make space. All of this was intentionality.
Yeah.
And I bring this up very often in therapy sessions where our people pleasing comes up, or our imposter syndrome comes up, or we will do things for others instead of ourselves. And I love using the metaphor that we're all sitting on a bench,
Yeah.
and we need to figure out on this bench, are we taking up the entire bench so that nobody can join us? Are we what I call half ass cheek off the bench so that everybody's toppling over us? How are we comfortably sitting on the bench? How am I sitting with you in this interview? Am I talking too much? Am I not engaging when I'm with a client? Right. So we're always assessing how am I taking space and how am I making space?
That's a beautiful metaphor because a lot of times, when you hear that, taking up space, making space, you can't really visualize or conceptualize it until you put almost like a, like you said, a picture to the terms. And so really giving yourself that visual in your head makes you understand or even apply that to different scenarios. Like you said, like how am I showing up in this client meeting? How am I showing up, with my family maybe? Like what does it look like? And then you visualize that yourself on that bench. And then you can self-correct or, adjust or whatever it might be. So I love that you've built into that metaphor this visual element, because I think that's a huge benefit to really learning and living through that.
Thank you. And I think a lot of that is for those who are listening, we kind of intuitively know, like, I know I'm a person, I take space, I do. I raise my hand, I sit in what's called the power seats, like, I get engaged. My work is to make space.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, it's they kind of are observers, and that's fine. But sometimes you need to advocate for yourself, right? And
Yeah.
sometimes you need to take that space because nobody's taking it for you.
Yeah. Was there a moment in your career that you felt like you were taking up too much space and you needed to make more space, and that's where this kind of evolved from? Or how did this metaphor come about?
Well, the metaphor actually, it comes from my rabbi.
I love it.
So I should have given credit where credit is due. What I will say, it's a little bit different than your question, but what I will say is that when I was deeply unhappy, I was looking at several different career options. And one of them actually was, I was thinking about becoming a rabbi.
Wow.
And I don't talk about that too often, but I think it's important to think about the sort of, wow, like what inspires me? And then what I did was I actually went and met with several rabbis, and I went to like an open house for a rabbinical school. I just started gathering data. And so much of this is somatic. And by somatic, I mean, how does your body actually feel in that moment? And it's different than just going to a website. It's like actually going to the thing.
Right. Really immersing yourself in the environment.
Really immersing yourself. Oh, that was a waste of time. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I could have spent 4 years in rabbinical school to realize I don't want to be doing that. And actually, I think it actually is full circle, because a large part of being a rabbi, well, I didn't know I would talk about this, but is constantly making space, of course, for your congregants and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I realized that I love teaching. I love being in front of groups of people. And I think in many ways, the calibration of taking and making space in that field wouldn't actually serve me. Because I like doing things. I like having a lot of variety. I know that about myself.
Yeah.
And I think I would be in a position where I was sort of just making too much space, or it just something about it felt off at the time. And so
yeah.
I guess that's where it came from. And if I can give like a practical tip to your audience right now, I mean, as many practical tips as possible. One of them is think about your favorite jobs and start thinking about, was I taking space? Was I making space? Did I like the people I was on the bench with? Then we can start to get much more analytical about what did I actually like about that job?
Yeah.
Or you can even think about the three C's that I encourage people to think about. Did you like how you were contributing? Did you like how you were challenged? Or did you like the community you were part of?
Those are great. Yeah. And I think those are so valuable to really consider, as you, like you said, to really think about how you lived in that space or how you contributed, or, you know, what was it that drew you to the space that you were in, so that you can make decisions moving forward to either put yourself in those same scenarios or avoid them, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Because we don't want to be out of the fryer and into the pan.
Yes.
We want to be much smarter. And as what you said at the beginning, we want to be really intentional with our time, of course. And part of that is, nope, that is not for me. Great. Then let's not spend more time on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's shift into, we're talking about taking up space, and I want to shift into the visibility side of things. Mm-hmm. And for our women entrepreneurs who are listening, who may feel invisible in their space or in their business, mm-hmm. how does aligning their work with their values help them step into visibility? And how do you help them with that?
Okay. So I come from an entrepreneurial background, and a lot of the corporate organizations I worked at, we helped startups get started actually.
Yeah.
And I ran our women's programming, and many of my clients are people who were starting companies, and for a variety of reasons, either those took off or they didn't. And now they've joined a corporate company, and they're like, where is my innovative entrepreneur bug? Like, how do I bring that to light? So this is very in line with the work that I do with people.
Yeah.
And it is, it, there's like an art to, there's like a science to it and there's an art to it. So I think the science is understanding if you are joining, aligning yourself, joining a team, aligning yourself with opportunities where your voice matters.
Yes.
I just RSVP'd for an event. They cap the number at 18. Versus tomorrow, I'm going to an event where it's like 300 people in a room.
Yeah.
Think very about different for yourself, like which one is going to provide more visibility, provide more authenticity for you. For me, it would be the 18 person.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's like thinking about kind of, a lot of people are like, do I want to work in a small company, a large company, big fish, small pond? Some people really want that, like, I want to rise up the ladder kind of thing. They like that hustle. Some people are like, I want nothing to do with that. So that's a lot of self-knowledge.
Yeah.
When it comes to what does visibility mean to you versus to me, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And then I encourage everyone to have a professional mission statement that they're working towards. And that's often, I like to think about it as the before after, like I help people, I help companies do this or transform this. Not because it's like, what can you do for me? But because it's very clear. Oh, I help. Oh, I know somebody who you could connect with.
Yeah.
I just had a colleague of mine say to me, I don't know what you do. And I'm like, okay.
That's a problem, right?
That's a problem. I am not marketing myself effectively.
Yeah.
Now, a problem that I have that other people have is I like to do so many things. Okay, well, what's the crossover between them?
Yeah.
And now I say I help people transform I help people transform who they are either in their careers or in their professional or personal life. I do that in therapy and I do that in career coaching. So that's the overarching element of it.
Right.
And I don't do the transforming for you. I help you realize where you want to transform and how you can have the tools and the team to get there.
Yeah.
And where you're stuck and where your constraints are, because that's part of life too, of course. But those are some of the visibility pieces of like, what rooms physically and also like mentally do I feel the most connected to? How am I voicing my value? And then how am I kind of carrying myself generally? Whether that's where you're putting yourself out. We could get into all the marketing strategies, which is I know much more of your wheelhouse. Yeah. But thinking like, when people think of me, what are they? Oh, I once met a colleague of mine and he was like, he was the diversity guy on campus, whether you can say that now, whatever. He was like, I want people to see me and be like, oh, that's that diversity guy.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, what if people, they walk by you or they're perceived, oh, that's that career woman. Oh, that's that marketing person. So, because 99.9% of people are just going to run onto the next thing in their day.
Yeah.
So what's the aftertaste? Almost like a bite of food that you're going to leave them with.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And especially if you can succinctly explain what you do, it helps to make it stick, right? When you're explaining it to other people so that they can retain it and understand it. And then, like you said, once they see you, they recognize you for that piece or element or service or whatever it might be. That builds up your personal brand, that builds up your visibility, the know, like, and trust factor, like all of those elements come into play when you can, you know, succinctly say, I do X, Y, Z.
Exactly. And I do it really well.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of dive a little deep and ask you a question. If you were to go back to your younger self and give yourself one piece of advice about visibility or reinvention, what would that be?
I, for so long, introduced who I was by where I worked. Oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm the X, Y, and Z of this company. And if I could go back, I would say, well, who am I when I'm not with that company? Like, what are my skills? I was just working with a client on this morning.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm a storyteller at this company, or I'm a product manager at this company. I'm like, no, you're a storyteller and you're trying to find the right company.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would, from a professional perspective, I would give myself permission to say what I do, not where I do it first.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I feel like so often, and maybe I don't know if this is just a female thing, but I feel like we feel the need to attach ourselves to that company to give us value, right? Instead of owning our true value and knowledge or expertise or passion or purpose. And leading with that instead of like you mentioned, leading with the business that you do it for. Because I think, like you said, wherever you go, you're going to take that skill or knowledge with you. It doesn't matter where you're at. That's true and authentic to you.
Right. The company or the organization is the playground in which you're doing it right now. But you
Yeah.
are the person playing on the things. You are the person making the things happen.
Yeah.
And that is in many ways taking space for the skills that you are cultivating and creating and the relationships you are developing at that company.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I love that piece of advice, 'cause I think that is so useful that, everyone can really introvertedly, introspectively think about and really apply it. Such an easy mindset shift, if you will, in such a small but impactful way. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So lastly, I want to wrap up. If you can give some advice, right? So these women listening who may be in a high-paid but soul-sucking role, what's one first step that they can take towards making a more fulfilling or visible career?
Well, first thing I'll say, just to say it, is you are seen, you are valued, you are not alone. It feels very alone. And I really started this for who I was 10 years ago, and just or 8 years ago, I suppose, and didn't have anybody around me. And I found a coach, but now I work with groups of people because they're supporting each other to get unstuck and to
Yeah.
feel inspired. And have you thought about this? So there is community, there is support, you will get through this. Okay, so that's kind of my strategic cheerleader, I call it. I'm a strategic cheerleader and a strategic accountability partner. In terms of what you can actually do, so I like to give two kind of solid pieces of advice, I hope, or applicable pieces of advice. So the first is I encourage everybody to create what I call your own board of advisors. Companies have large board of advisors. They're not the experts on everything. Every company has a board of advisors, every nonprofit. You cannot do this work alone. So whether you're job searching or whether you're not sure what you want to do next, find two to three people that knew you, know you, not just like team where you work right now, but
Yeah.
actually team Tori, actually team Rachel. If you went to the moon, they would still be rooting for you. And then you say, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm hoping to do. And what the ask is generally thinking, I always think about it as the three T's: time, talent, or treasure. Is there anybody you could introduce me to? Do you have
Yeah.
any time for me? Or do you have any ideas of around resources for this? Like,
Yeah.
so that's the first thing is to people get intimidated by board of advisors. No, it's just like Team Rachel. It's just who's on Team Rachel. And bring them in. They don't know what you're struggling with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I send mine quarterly updates. If they read them, great. And if not, fantastic. Because either way, I'm keeping them in the loop.
Yeah.
And the second is to do what I call a career audit. So I do this extended with people, which is understanding if you look at the last day, week, month, What are the top three things that have brought you joy? And what percent of your time are you doing those?
Yeah.
And then conversely, what are you doing? You could take an Excel spreadsheet, make it three columns. I'm podcasting. I'm doing 80% of my time and it brings me 20% joy. Well, that's a disconnect right there.
Yeah.
I'm doing budgeting 10% of my time. I love budgeting. I wish I could do it 90%.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you realize that, and you can green, yellow, red, you know, whatever. And then you have some data to work with. Just instead of I'm unhappy, it's understanding, well, where are you happy? Where are you unhappy? And then you can start to get creative. Well, how do I have a conversation with my boss? How do I do more of this?
Yeah.
How do I add this outside of work? But that's really how you can stay soul aligned, is to understand what's actually aligning the soul.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Rachel, it has been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and advice. I really feel like there's been some really tactical and practical advice that you've shared. That if you just pull, you know, our listeners pull one of those pieces of advice to apply into their day, I think that they are going to feel more aligned and more connected to the path that they need to be on. So thank you so much for sharing all of that.
Thank you so much for having me.
And where can people reach you if they want to learn more about what you do or get in touch with you?
Yeah. So I have a free training on my website, Rachel Speckman, Speckman, madeformorecoach.com. I am constantly posting on LinkedIn. You can reach out to me, resources, opportunities, client wins, jobs that people might be interested in. And I do offer a one-time deep dive. I call it the high stakes career audit to get you as aligned as quickly as we can.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being a guest. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.